Acts chapter 16 for our thoughts this morning, and want us to begin with verse 22. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. The keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of that night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. When he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Let's pray. Father, I love you and praise you, and I'm thankful for this opportunity given me to share your word this morning. And I just pray, Father, now as I break the bread of life, you'll bless your word, and Lord, your word will go out. Your word will be received this morning from your people. Lord, I just pray that, Lord, hearts will be dealt with tonight, today, Lord, in this service. And I just pray that, Lord, if there's a need, whatever it might be, especially if it's salvation, I pray, Lord, that your spirit will draw them here to the altar. Lord, in obedience and in faith, they'll trust Jesus before it's too late. Pray, Father, that you'll give me again those words to say. Let me preach what you've laid upon my heart. Say those things you need me to say for your honor and glory. Heard the prayer request. Pray that, Lord, you'll do as you see fit with each request. But above all now, as we come the worship hour, the breaking of the bread of life, Lord, may we worship you in spirit and truth. Give me of my sins and my shortcomings. May I be a vessel you can use this morning for your glory. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Pretty familiar text. Everybody's read this. You've heard it preached many times. And this is no different. I'm going to preach the same text. It's a great text. But I want you to notice something right off the bat. Now, let me ask you a question before I get. How many of you have ever been in jail or prison? There we go. We've got some hands. Believe it or not, one time in my life, it broke me from sucking eggs. I knew when that thing went clank that I didn't want that or no part of that. Amen. You say, "What did you do?" Well, you nosy people, none of your business want to do it. It wasn't so bad. I'm here. I'm free. I'm not in prison. So it couldn't have been too bad. I ran away from home. I thought I had it bad at home. And that silly state trooper just put me in jail and said, "We're going to call your parents." So I waited there, terrified. Not that I was in jail, although I didn't like that feeling. I was terrified that my dad was coming to get me. I knew there was a beating coming. And bad, I thought that was bad enough. My grandpa was in the truck when I got into the truck. And my grandpa was a no-nonsense man. And man, he gave me the fifth degree. Up and down, sideways, is an hour to just beat you stupid. Beat you stupid? What's wrong with you? You're killing your dad. You're killing your mom. You're killing me. You're killing your grandma. I mean, he gave me 90 miles. I had to listen to this stuff. And he said, "Don't you say a word. You take everything in." I did. Didn't say a word. My dad didn't even speak to me. But when we pulled into the driveway, go to your room. And I knew what that meant. The beating's coming. It came. But I've been in jail one time. Not because I broke the law. I just ran away. But the reason I asked you that question is whether we've been to jail or been in prison before, it's not a great thing, is it? Everybody that you talk to about that prison experience will tell you you don't want no part of that. Well, think about Paul and Silas. This morning I want to talk to you about prison experiences of life, because we all have them, and how to have joy with them. You see, Paul and Silas were sent by God to Philippi, and there they led a woman named Lydia to Christ. And after that, they came across this woman that had a demon in her. And there were these men making money off of her because she was into divination. Let me go ahead and stop you right there. Any of you into witchcraft, horoscopes, and any of that stuff, you ought to know better. It is against God. You want your future? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved and you'll go to heaven. There's your future. Leave him out of your life, you're going to hell. There's your future. But don't go to these palm readers. Don't go to these horoscopes and believe witches, warlocks. All of that is against God. It's nothing but of Satan. So, the Apostle Paul, he couldn't handle it anymore. Guess what he does? He calls on the name of Jesus and he casts that demon out. Now the people are mad at him and at Silas because they just upset their money making. So now they are brought before the magistrates and said, these men are bringing strange things to the people here, stuff we've never heard of. And yes, I'm kind of paraphrasing. So the magistrates say, well, let's just beat them and put them in jail. Now notice with me, they were doing what God sent them to do. Amen? But they found themselves beaten and cast into prison. So sometimes you and I can be serving God, living faithfully for God, doing what He's called us to do, and sometimes find ourselves in the prisons of life. And what I mean by that is we go through trials. It can be affliction. What I mean by affliction is we can get sick. It can be family issues. Amen? Our kids can give us trouble. It can be divorce. It can be all kinds of things. And all of us need to understand, and I want you to get this, if you don't get nothing else in this message this morning, get this. The reason you and I go through the trials and we go through things in this life is because God's trying to get you and I to conform like Christ, be in His image. And He's going to use whatever step is necessary to get us to that place. What is it? It's Romans chapter 8 somewhere. I think it's 29, where whom He did know, to them did He predestinate to be conformed in the image of His dear Son. That's what the Word of God says. So understand, that's what God's trying to do. You see, He's trying to get us to the place that He can use us the most, where He can be glorified the most. Now here is Paul and Silas. And the Bible says, notice what it says, verse 22, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. I believe with all my heart, they probably used a cat of nine tails and they whooped the fire out of these two old country boys. Amen. They whipped them and they whipped them and they whipped them. They beat them with many stripes. And what were they doing? Serving God, preaching the Word of God. I'll go ahead and tell you, preaching the Word of God hadn't got any easier today. In fact, it's starting to get like it was back then. If you're going to stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, you better be ready. Because not everybody likes you, loves you, or going to support you. In fact, they're going to rail you and they're going to do everything they can to shut you up. So here's Paul and Silas. They're beaten with many stripes. And notice what the Word of God says. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison. Now, what were they doing? Again, nothing but doing what God sent them to do. And now they're not only beaten, bleeding, and by the way, I assure you, they were in pain. Flesh, probably like hamburger meat. And now they're cast into prison. No fault of their own. God had a plan. He had a purpose. He has a plan and a purpose for you and me. Notice. Cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison. In other words, the dungeon of that prison. Now understand, when prisons weren't like the prisons we have today, where you can get a degree, you can play softball, you can bowl, you can do all that kind of stuff, watch TV. Wasn't like that back then. You see, they were thrust, and that word thrust literally means just that. Tossed into the dungeon without any care for their welfare. And they were cast into this dark, dungy, nasty dungeon. Beloved, again, that wasn't enough. The jailer literally put them in stocks so they couldn't move about. They were there in the mess. And I'm not trying to be gross, and I'm not trying to be offensive, but in the dungeons back then, there was waste. It stunk. There was flies. There was maggots. I'll stop while I'm ahead. Y'all do have to eat lunch, right? But that's the best I can say. Here's Paul and Silas. Now, you ask, were they in pain? Yes. Were they afraid? I'm sure they were. But I don't hear them moaning and groaning. Amen? Look at what our text says. It says, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, made their feet fast and stop. And at midnight, Paul and Silas pray. Don't y'all get something here? Now, they could have been saying, what in the world? Here, we're trying to serve God, do what He wants us to do. We preach the gospel, and this is how God pays us. This is what God does. He allows us to be beaten within an inch of our life and now cast into this dungeon in a dirty, dungy prison. And this is what God expects us to just take this? I'll ask you a question before I go on. How many of you ever question God when you go through something? We all have. You haven't, you will. You see, what's the first thing when we go through a trial? Something comes upon us, whether it's our health or what. What's the first word? Why? Why not? Why not? Who are we? We ask why. You see, they could have become bitter. There's lots of us that are going through things right now. I don't know your heart. I don't know what you're going through, but I'm sure you're going through issues in your life that maybe I don't have the answer to your questions. I don't have an answer for. But listen to me. God does. And what you need to do is not question what God is doing, but you must be willing to accept what God's doing because it's for your good and for His glory. You say, I don't like that. How can anything good come out of that? I'm sure Paul and Silas thought the same thing. My goodness, Lydia, we won her to the Lord and her household. My goodness, this woman Poor thing was possessed by a devil. We delivered her from that, and here we are. But you see, they didn't see around the corner that God saw. You see, there was a jailer there, and there were people in that prison that needed to hear the gospel. Now, notice what the Bible says. It didn't say they moaned and they groaned. It didn't say they griped and they complained. What it does say is they prayed. And if we would ever learn as God's people, when we start going through the trials of life, to just turn it over to God and pray, would be better off. But see, prayer is always the last resort, isn't it? Amen. Do you head like that? Yeah, it is. Should be the first thing that we do when we start going through those prison experiences of life. I think of Job. Now, Job, the old devil thought if he squeezed him enough, he could make Job bitter against God. But instead of Job becoming bitter against God, and by the way, if you've ever studied the book of Job, you'll learn Job lost every single thing he ever had. Shows him sitting there in a pile of ashes, scraping the sword with a broken piece of pottery. See, he lost everything. And the reason he was there in those ashes was because it was the only thing he had left himself to offer to God. Sometimes we have to get to the place where we're all we have to offer to God. And if we ever get there, God's going to bless us. And we're going to have victory. Now, the Bible says that both of those men begin to pray at midnight. Now, listen to me. It says, oh, they didn't start praying till midnight. No, no. When they were there, I assure you, they were God's men. They were praying as soon as they got there. But at midnight, something began to happen. Look at what the Word says. The Bible says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and the praying led to singing praises unto God. Did y'all get that? And I assure you, the song they sang wasn't an old hee-haw song. Amen. Doom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression. Excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Doom, despair, and agony on me. Listen, that's not what they sang. What they sang probably was a Hallel psalm. 113 to probably 118. Those were Hallel psalms. They were songs of praise for God. And you and I, most of the time, we don't look at those prison experiences with joy. We think, oh, why? Woe is me. What's God doing to me? Why doesn't God get me out of this? Because He has a plan for me. He has a plan for me. And let me just say something. Believe it or not, there are people constantly watching. You've heard me say it many times. And they don't want to hear about your joy. They could care less about your joy when you're on the mountain. But you listen, and you listen good. When you say you are a child of God and you're going through a valley, you are being tested, believe me, it's not the joy they're watching. It's how you handle that situation. And believe me, you have their ears and their eyes upon you. Because what they're doing is wanting to see if those trials that you're going through, you're the same as when you're on the mountain. Think about that for a second. They're watching. So here is Paul and Silas. They've prayed, and by the way, that's the best thing you can do. when you start to go through issues, just turn to God in prayer. In fact, the Bible says that we should pray without ceasing. But then after prayer, it's going to lead you to praise. Now, I'm here to tell you, I'm not going to say it's easy to claim victory when you're hurt, but that's exactly what Paul and Silas did. They begin to rejoice and praise God. And when they came to the praising part, things began to happen because that praise went on in to worship. See, here's our problem. We can handle the praying part. We might even get to the point of praising the Lord for those prison experiences. But the worshiping God for those things, I know, wait a second, preacher, that's just a little too much to expect. Not so with God. Let me tell you about faith. When you are going through those valleys, you're having those struggles. When you have the faith you're supposed to have, you won't moan, you won't gripe. You will be saying to all of those that are watching you that my God is not dead, He is real, He has a place in my life, and I am going to follow Him no matter what comes my way. Listen, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust. But let me tell you, when you have weak faith, when you moan and you groan, let me tell you what you're telling the world. God's not able. I'm just like anybody else. I'm here to tell you, no. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. God gives me grace. He will see me through. If He takes me through a trial, He'll get me all the way through that trial. He'll not leave me in the lurch. He'll not forsake me. He'll be with me each step of the way because He is going to get the glory. And we need to realize that. So here is Paul and Silas. They started praying. And then they start praising the Lord. When you go through a trial, you want to know where your walk is with the Lord? You want to know how to gauge your spiritual walk with the Lord? Go through a trial and praise God for it. When you get to where you can praise God for everything you go through, you're pretty spiritual. You start moaning and groaning, though. Why me? Why me? We got issues with your faith. Now, notice. Prisoners heard them. At midnight, Paul, Silas prayed, saying praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And that word heard them means they paid attention to what was going on. They heard them praising God and praying to God. They attentively listened. Again, people are watching us all the time. And they're paying attention to how we're handling what we're going through. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Think about this. They began to worship God. God began to move in His power by His Spirit. And guess what? The doors were opened. They were set free. But did you notice? Nobody ran out of the prison. Think about that. You and I would have probably said, pew. Right? We're honest. But no, they stayed there. They were free. And they still remained there. Listen. You and I, if this is ever a picture, get this picture in your mind. You and I, no matter what trial or prison experience of life we're facing, we may still face that, but you and I are always free in Christ. We have freedom. There's nothing to fear we have freedom. Now, the Bible says the jailer comes in. Well, I'll tell you at first why he came in. He came in because if one prisoner escaped, by head would roll. But he falls down in front of Paul and Silas. And the Bible says he's trembling. Yeah, because he's going to die. But they're all there. Don't you love what Paul says? Notice it says, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we're all here. What? What's wrong with you, boy? Your biscuits are doughy. Why ain't you out of here? Why ain't you gone? There's Paul. And there's Silas. Because you know what? During that time of worship and praise to God while they were there in that mire, in that dark dungeon, guess what? The Lord spoke to their hearts and they realized that, you know what? We're here for a reason. You're going through what you're going through. I don't know your circumstances, but you're going through what you're going through for a reason. And the reason is God loves you and He's going to get the glory because you're going through this for the plan that He has for you. It might not be exactly all for you, but it's for somebody around you. And you got to understand that. Now, the Bible says, he called for a light, sprang, and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said the most important question ever asked. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, there's lots of questions out there. I run across people that ask me questions about the Bible all the time, and that's good. I'm a pastor. I should be able to give you an answer. And if I can, I always go to someone that can give me an answer and then I can answer back. But I, believe it or not, I don't always have all the answers. But I know the answers in this book. But lots of questions asked. But the greatest question ever asked was what this jailer asked Paul and Silas. And by the way, not only did he ask a question, but he received an answer. And it was the truth. What did Paul and Silas say? He said, you got to join a church? Nope. Got to be baptized? Nope. You got to keep the law? Nope. You got to be good. You can't break or sin at all? Nope. What did they say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There's the answer. I'm thankful the jailer had enough sense to say, hey, what do I need to do to be saved? Of course, his future didn't look very bright, did it? But then he received the answer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And his future got a whole lot brighter because he did just that. He was saved. Now, believe. Trust. And I've used this as an example many times. You sit on a pew, you plop down, you never give it a second thought. It's going to crash, burn. You know it's going to hold you up. I'll use a different one for those of you tired of me saying, using that. How many of you have ever crossed the bridge? We all have, haven't we? We never once doubted or considered, is this bridge going to hold this car if I go across it? Is that concrete going to be able to hold this bridge up while I get across it? We never give it a second thought. We just go across the bridge. Why? Because we trust it. We believe it's going to hold the car up. It's the same way with trusting Jesus as your personal Savior. You call upon Him. You believe that He's going to save you. By the way, you believe on Him, He's going to save you. People, it's amazing to me. People struggle. Oh, if I'm saved, what you're saying is if you've called upon the Lord, what you're saying is you don't believe He can save you. I'm sorry. If He can feed 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves, He can save me. If He can come out of a tomb on the third day, He can save me if I ask Him to save me. So I don't worry about that. And neither should you. If you've made a profession of faith, listen, you're saved. Don't let the devil come into your mind and thoughts and try to convince you that the Lord don't have the power to save. Because He does. Now, the jailer asks the question, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Answer comes back. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt." Did He say you might? Could be? He says, "Thou shalt." You will be saved. And right then and there, there was a change in that jailer. How do I know? Well, before he had no problem thrusting them. And that word thrust comes from the word tossing them without any care about where they landed or their welfare into the dungeon, innermost part of the prison. Didn't care whatsoever. But now that he's believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, we see him taking them to his house and doctoring the wound. And guess what? Paul and Silas took the opportunity to share the gospel with his household. You know what happened? That whole household was saved and was baptized. Isn't that amazing? But listen, had they not went through those prison experiences of life, that jailer and his household, and no telling those other prisoners in the prison, would have never had the opportunity to be saved. See, they didn't question God like we do when we go through those prison experiences. And it's human nature. I understand. There's been times I've asked, "Lord, why?" You know, I took a church. In fact, it was the last church I took before you poor folks got me, bless your heart. That church was a Corinthian church. Now, God was moving. That church grew. But I had the Hatfields on one side and the McCoys on the other. That's the truth. And I did ask, "Lord, why?" I mean, they nearly destroyed me and my family. Had it not been for the grace of God, they would have. And I'll be the first to tell you, I didn't understand it. And guess what? I kind of got bitter. I did. I got hurt. I was hurt. But praise God, through another man of God, his counseling to me, God used him. Oh, he used him in a mighty way to get me to see the error of my ways, because it wasn't God that did any of that to me. He allowed it to happen. But you know what? He had a plan. And that plan for me and my family was to leave Arkansas and come out here to the desert. And I'll be honest, when I got to the desert, I thought, what have I truly done? I must really be on his list, because I'm out here in Las Vegas, Nevada. Yeah. And all of my old preacher friends back there, "Are you crazy? You're going where? Is there Christians in Las Vegas? I hope there are. I know they're sinners." And praise the Lord, here I landed. But my point is this. We can have joy in spite of our circumstances. God's going to get the glory. And bottom line, remember, in your suffering, He has a plan and a purpose. It's not because He's mad at you. It's because He's just trying to get you to be conformed to the image of His Son. Because when we get to where we're like Jesus, guess what? He gets all the glory. So, Paul and Silas, I'm sure, while it wasn't a joy, they made the most of it. And through it, people were won into the kingdom. People are watching you. I've said it many times. Watching how you respond to your circumstances. I pray it's with joy. Viktor Frankl, I'll close with this. Viktor Frankl is a Jewish doctor. And in World War II, because he was Jewish, the Nazis arrested him, his wife, his two children, and his parents. In fact, his parents and his wife and two children were killed. So he's still alive. He's on a work detail. And the Germans one day saw his wedding ring, and they said, "Give us the ring." Of course, he had a choice. Give them the ring or they would kill him. So he gave them the ring. But he said this, and I think it goes with what I'm trying to get across this morning. He says, "They may kill my parents and my wife and children. They may strip me naked. They may take everything I have away. But there's one thing they'll never get from me, and that is the freedom to face whatever I'm facing the way I want to face it." You see, that's the secret to going through those prison experiences of life. That's how we're able to do it. How we accept those things. Well, I'll close by asking you a simple question. What are you going through today? God knows. Need some help? Come to the Lord and ask Him. Are you saved? You see, there's a jailer who didn't know Jesus. But he met Jesus and was saved. And by the way, he was a sinner. And God extended grace to this sinner. He's willing to extend grace to you if you're just asking for salvation. There is joy. The Bible tells us, the psalmist said, joy is going to come in the morning. Weeping endures but just for a night. But joy cometh in the morning. Your trial here, while it may be sometimes unbearable, and you might wish that it was over, listen to me, I can assure you, one of these days, it will. You see, this is the deal. Either we can accept the plan that God has for us, and go on, and win victory, or we can just quit on God. But I'm going to tell you, you quit on God, you think you're suffering now. God's going to keep keeping it on, get you where He has to have you. So if you're smart, live in victory. Praise the Lord. Keep on serving the Lord, no matter what you face. And I'm here to tell you, He's going to bless you. And others are going to be blessed because of the way you live. Amen.